This morning I want to speak about 10 reasons why you should be in church every Sunday. And as we have been looking at the book of Acts, I want to draw you to a key verse, a couple of key verses. And in Acts 2:42 it says, "And they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship, and in breaking of bread and in prayers." The early church was serious about meeting together on the first day of the week. Acts 20 verse 7. "Now on the first day of the week, when the disciples came together to break bread, Paul, ready to depart the next day, spoke to them and continued his message until midnight." Imagine that. Apostle Paul preaching till midnight. And believers staying and being willing to hear the word of God. The early church took church seriously. And I'm afraid in the days that we live in 2021, there are numbers of Christians that don't take church attendance seriously. And this is why I want to give you 10 reasons why we should be in church every Sunday. Now, as I outlined last week, I know that there are Christians that are sick and they cannot be in church. There are believers as they get older that might lose their license and they can't get to church. Travelling to church is difficult. There are those now in outback towns where there is not one viable church in their town. There are churches that have closed down all over Australia, and unfortunately, where there were numbers of churches in little towns, some churches don't have a single church. So that means that some believers have got to travel hundreds of miles. And so some of those believers would only be able to get to church perhaps once a month. There are all sorts of reasons. Work is another reason. There are some believers that can't make it to church every Sunday because they are rostered on to work. Might be a doctor or a nurse or an ambulance driver or a policeman or a fireman. There are people that are forced to work on a Sunday. But I did say this last Sunday, if you don't have to work on a Sunday, I believe, as a Christian, you shouldn't work on a Sunday. You should put the Lord first on that day. Acts 20 verse 7, on the first day of the week, it's quite clear the disciples came together. Well, here's the first reason why I believe that we should be in church on Sunday. I'm going to summarise the ones that I talked to you about last week. The first reason is that we are called to be witnesses. Acts 1 verse 8, "But you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you shall be witnesses to me in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the end of the earth." When you go to church, you are a witness to others. You know, you pull your car out on a Sunday morning out of the driveway, and neighbours might look out the window and they might see that you are going somewhere every Sunday. And if they know that you're going to church, it's actually a witness to your neighbours. It's a witness to your family. It's a witness to your grandchildren, your children, if you are serious about going to church on a Sunday. The Baptist Press, I pointed out last week, indicates a survey that they did, some data that they collected. If a father does not go to church, even if his wife does attend church, then only one child in 50 will become a regular worshipper. They go on and they say, if a mother is the first in her household to become a Christian, then there is a 17% probability that everyone else in the household will follow. However, if a father is the first to become a Christian, there is a 93% probability everyone else in the household will follow. Men and granddads, we have a tremendous responsibility. We are witnesses. We are witnesses to the unsaved and we're witnesses to our family. And when little eyes are looking on the dad, dads are meant to be the spiritual leaders in the home. And these statistics, I believe, bear that out. 93% probability everyone else in the household will follow in becoming Christians if a dad becomes a Christian, the first in the family. The Bible says, "Blessed is everyone who fears the Lord, who walks in his ways. When you eat the labour of your hands, you shall be happy, and it shall be well with you. Your wife shall be like a fruitful vine in the very heart of your house. your children like olive plants all around your table. Behold, thus shall the man be blessed who fears the Lord. So the first reason is that we are to be witnesses. The unsaved world are looking at us to see if we are serious about our faith. The second reason is that we have the opportunity when we come together as believers to pray together. Acts 1 verse 14, these all continued with one accord in prayer and supplication with the women and Mary, the mother of Jesus, and with his brothers. Prayer was an important part of the early church. And when we come together as a church, part of our service here is to pray. We pray for each other, we pray for missions, we pray for the sick. Ephesians 6 verse 17. And take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, being watchful to this end with all perseverance and supplication for all the saints. The third reason that we should gather together as believers on a Sunday is I believe that the church is the most important institution on the entire planet. Individual churches throughout the world are the most important institutions in their areas. The Lord Jesus didn't say, I will build my university. The Lord Jesus didn't say, I will come and build schools or I will build theological colleges. The Lord Jesus talked about building one institution and one institution alone, and that was the church. Matthew 16, 18. I will build my church and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. We are co-labourers with God himself when we are involved in the church. 1 Corinthians 3 verse 9, for we are labourers together with God, ye are God's husbandry, ye are God's building. The fourth reason that we should come together as regularly as possible on a Sunday is that the church is the only institution that wages war against sin and supernatural wickedness with spiritual power. The only institution. The only institution that has spiritual power to come against spiritual wickedness. We are soldiers in God's army. Isaac Watts wrote this, am I a soldier of the cross, a follower of the Lamb? Must I be carried to the skies on flowery beds of ease, while others fought to win the prize and sailed through bloody seas? Am I a soldier of the cross? If you're a Christian, you're a soldier of the cross, and you are to be involved in church because we wage war against spiritual wickedness. The fifth reason we should be involved in church, and this is a key reason, is that spiritual gifts have been discovered, deployed, and displayed in many cases within the church contexts. I ended up finding that my ministry in life was to be a preacher, and I discovered that within a church context. As believers encouraged me, as I was trained, as I was given the opportunity by a pastor gave me the opportunity. My first sermon was in Parramatta, I believe. And I had the opportunity given by my pastor at that time to share the word of God in Parramatta. And I remember just having my sermon written out in an exercise book and you know, being very nervous in speaking to the people. But I had the opportunity to discover my gift within the church. And many people here would say, yes, it was the church that I was encouraged in my gifts. It was the church that I was encouraged in my natural talents as well. And I pointed out last week that if you're a believer, you have natural talents and you have supernatural talents, and they've all been given to you by God, and you should use them within the church and also to reach the lost outside. As each one has received a gift, minister to one another as good stewards of the manifold grace of God. We've been ministered together today by our musicians. They've used their talents for God's glory and for our encouragement. We've been able to sing songs of praise. We've been comforted by the words that have been sung. because we have people that are willing to use their gifts today. We should be using our gifts. So in the church context, we discover our gift, we deploy our gifts, and we display our gifts. And that happens in the church context, it happens in the mission field, it also happens outside when we're witnessing to other people. Every person has a natural talent and a spiritual talent, and you should be using it for God's glory. Sixth reason we should come together every Sunday is that we are called of God to praise the Lord together as a body. Colossians 3 verse 16, let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. Paul is encouraging us to come together and praise, to sing songs and hymns and spiritual songs. We come together today not only to learn the word, but also to give praises to our Lord Jesus Christ and to God the Father. Psalm 59 verse 16, but I will sing of your power. Yes, I will sing aloud of your mercy in the morning. For you have been my defence and refuge in the day of my trouble. To you, O my strength, I will sing praises. For God is my defence, my God of mercy. I believe that as we come together, it can be a great encouragement as we're singing the songs of the faith together. You know, it can also be a great strengthening of believers as we sing praises to the Lord. You might remember in Acts chapter 16, there's Paul and Silas. It's midnight. They've just been beaten by many stripes, and they're placed in the inner dungeon in Philippi. And what do? They praise the Lord. Acts 16:23. And when they had laid many stripes on them, they threw them into prison, commanding the jailer to keep them securely. Having received such a charge, he put them into the inner prison and fastened their feet in the stocks. But at midnight, Paul and Silas were praying and singing hymns to God, and the prisoners were listening to them. In the dungeons of your distress, what a blessing it can be to join with other believers and praise the Lord. It can be wonderful in our lives when we're in times of distress. It can lift us up as we praise the Lord together with others. You know, John gives us a glimpse of the praise in heaven in the book of Revelation. Revelation 15 verse 3. They sing the song of Moses, the servant of God, and the song of the Lamb, saying, great and marvellous are your works, Lord God Almighty, just and true are your ways, O King of the saints. Who shall not fear you, O Lord, and glorify your name? For you alone are holy, for all nations shall come and worship before you, for your judgments have been manifested. I get the opportunity, when I come to church each Sunday, to tune my voice up for eternity. You know that? We're getting ready for eternity, and we're tuning our voices to praise our Lord and Saviour. Seventh reason you should be in church every Sunday is so that we can hear the word of God. Romans 10 verse 17, so then faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. When Paul gave Timothy his instructions as a young pastor, he said, preach the word, be instant in season, out of season, reprove, rebuke, exhort with all long suffering and doctrine. You should be in church every Sunday so you can hear the word of God. Throughout the centuries, God's people have grown as believers. Unsaved have been converted by the very words of God. Timothy was to preach the word. Timothy was to be preaching in season and out of season. He was to reprove the people that were his hearers. He was to rebuke the people when you come to church. You're not only coming to hear good things, but you're actually coming to be rebuked, to be challenged, to have error pointed out in your lives by God's word. A wise man will hear, Proverbs 1 verse 5, and will increase learning, and a man of understanding shall attain unto wise counsel. Proverbs 3 verse 13, happy is a man who finds wisdom, and the man who gains understanding. I can't tell you how blessed I've been under the preaching of godly men of God that have proclaimed the word. I can't tell you how much I've grown spiritually as I've heard the word of God, other men teach the word of God, and how my life has been impacted from both a young Christian and an old Christian. What a blessing for me it is to hear the word of God proclaimed powerfully by someone else, and I hear the very words of God and I'm challenged to my core. What a blessing it is. Every Sunday you have the opportunity to hear the word preached. Every Sunday you have the opportunity to grow and then go out and live a fruitful life. Blessed is a man who walks not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor stands in the way of sinners, nor sits in the seat of the scornful, but his delight is in the law of the Lord. Is your delight in the law of the Lord? Do you want to have a blessed life? You need to be hearing the word of God as much as you can in your lives. You know, if you don't think that you should attend church, I want to draw you to a case study. And perhaps I think this is one of the most profound points that I'll make today. And the case study is Jesus Christ. And if you think you can be lax about church service or attending church, I want you to look at the life of Jesus for a few moments. It's Jerusalem. And Mary and Joseph have left their home and they've gone down to Jerusalem. They've gone down with Jesus to celebrate the feast of the Passover. And you'll know the story in Luke chapter 2. Mary and Joseph, after some days, decide that they'll go home, and they set off. And we know that in those days, communities were big, and they leave Jerusalem without Jesus. And one day into their journey, they realise that Jesus is not with the crowd. He's not with the relatives. Let me read the passage. Luke 2:43. And when they'd finished the days, as they returned, the boy Jesus lingered behind in Jerusalem. And Joseph and his mother did not know it. But supposing him to have been in the company, I'd say that's the company of relatives and friends, they went a day's journey and sought him among their relatives and acquaintances. So when they did not find him, they returned to Jerusalem seeking him. Now so it was that after 3 days, they found him in the temple, sitting in the midst of the teachers, both listening to them and asking them questions. If you don't think you need to be in church each Sunday, take Jesus as a case study. At the age of 12, Jesus goes to the temple. Jesus is in Jerusalem with his parents. His parents leave and Jesus stays behind for days. 12 years of age. Now so it was that after 3 days, they found him in the temple, sitting in the midst of the teachers, both listening to them and asking them questions. As a boy, it was important for Jesus, the very Son of God, to be at the temple, to be learning, to be asking questions, to be hearing the word of God. The first words are recorded in the Bible in relation to the Lord Jesus are in Luke chapter 2. And amongst those words, we find these words. I must be about my Father's business. And the Bible says in verse 52, "And Jesus increased in wisdom and stature and in favour with God and man." The 12-year-old Lord Jesus knew it was important to be gathering with God's people and even to spend days listening and asking questions. Fast forward to Jesus when he's in his 30s, when he's involved in ministry, and you read in Luke 4 verse 16, "So he came to Nazareth where he'd been brought up, and as his custom was, he went into the synagogue on the Sabbath day and stood up to read." So before the church is established at Pentecost, when Jesus was alive on earth, in his adulthood, he made it his business to be in the synagogue every Sabbath day. If the Son of God made it his business to be amongst the people of God every single week, what about us? If Jesus thought it was important to be hearing the Word of God, to be reading the Scriptures and meeting with the people of God, what about us? He was sinless. We are sinful. How much more do we need the Word of God? Eighth reason why you should be in church every Sunday is for fellowship. Acts 2:42, "And they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship, in the breaking of bread and in prayers." All of us need fellowship. A fellowship can take place as we greet each other. A fellowship can take place as we're praising the Lord together. And fellowship can take place after church and on different days during the week. All of us are in need of fellowship. And I want to encourage you, if you can stay around after church for morning tea, then I'd encourage you, if possible, to stay for fellowship. Why? Because there are people that need you. And you actually need people. And there are people that actually might need someone to talk to them today, because they might be going home to a lonely house, no one else might be there with them, and they may not speak to another person today, but they should be able to speak to brothers and sisters in Christ that stay back to have fellowship with others. If you're able to stay back, I'd encourage you to stay back, and I'd encourage you to use that time to have fellowship, but also to meet other people's needs. You might be able to be a listening ear. Someone might have a problem today. You might need to be a friend to someone. You might need to be a prayer partner. You might need to encourage someone today. You might need to show someone that you actually care. We all need fellowship, but fellowship takes time and fellowship takes work. You know, I think it's sad here some Sundays when we have new people come in. And I look at the new people coming in, and virtually no one greets some of those people. Maybe I don't see it all the time, but I have seen people. I've seen people in the morning tea room where people are not going over and greeting them and talking to them. They're having fellowship with their friends, but they're not talking to that new person. We need to be people that are reaching out. I spoke about Gandhi last week. And when Gandhi went to a church, Gandhi walked away discouraged because the people were so unfriendly. And Gandhi made a huge impact on the world, but not for Jesus. What if Christians in that church had encouraged Gandhi? What a difference there might have been to him and to many other people that followed him. All of us need to develop friendships. All of us need fellowship. We need fellowship to make friends. We need fellowship for accountability. We need fellowship to bear one another's burdens. Galatians 6 verse 1. "Brethren, if a man is overtaken in any trespass, you who are spiritual, restore such a one in a spirit of gentleness, considering yourself, lest you also be tempted. Bear one another's burdens and so fulfill the law of Christ." We need fellowship to encourage one another. You know, I read there are 59 one another's in the Bible. 59 one another's. Let me give you some of them. I won't give you all the 59, but here's some of them. John 13:34. A new commandment I give to you, that you love one another as I have loved you, that you also love one another. Galatians 5:13. But through love serve one another. Ephesians 4:2. With all lowliness and gentleness, with long suffering, bearing with one another in love. 59 one another's in the Bible. It's very important. Fellowship should be a great part of our lives as believers. The ninth reason you should be in church every Sunday is that you can participate in mission. If you're a believer, you are called to mission. Psalm 96:2, sing to the Lord, bless his name, proclaim the good news of his salvation from day to day, declare his glory among the nations, his wonders among all peoples. Someone has said you are either a mission field or a missionary. So today we have people here that either are a mission field, you yet don't know Jesus as your saviour, or you're a missionary. If you've come to know Jesus, then you are to be a missionary. You are to be a missionary in this town, a missionary in your family, and we are to have a part also in world mission. So a ninth reason we should be in church every Sunday is that so we can participate in mission. In church, we learn how to be missionaries. In church, we learn about missionaries on foreign fields. We come together to pray for missionaries. And we can be encouraged to be involved in the Great Commission as we come to church every Sunday. The greatest missionary that ever lived was Jesus. Matthew 9:35, then Jesus went about all the cities and villages, teaching in their synagogues, preaching the gospel of the kingdom, and healing every sickness and every disease among the people. But when he saw the multitudes, he was moved with compassion for them, because they were weary and scattered like sheep, having no shepherd. Then he said to his disciples, the harvest truly is plentiful, but the labourers are few. Therefore pray the Lord of the harvest to send out labourers into his harvest. The ninth reason you should be in church is for the cause of mission. You can participate in mission, you can be educated in mission, and you can pray for mission when you come together on a Sunday. The tenth reason you should be in church every Sunday is because Jesus is coming. The rapture could take place at any moment. Let me read you Hebrews 10:23. Let us hold fast the profession of our faith without wavering, for he is faithful that promised. And let us consider one another to provoke unto love and to good works, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as you see the day approaching. We should be building up each other as we see the day approaching. Jesus is coming, and it is paramount that we're in fellowship with one another as we look to the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. Jesus said, behold, I am coming quickly, and my reward is with me to give everyone according to his work. If Jesus comes today, I want to be found in fellowship with God, and I want to be found in fellowship with his family. 10 reasons we should be in church every Sunday. To witness. To pray. The church is the most important institution on earth. We are equipped in church for the spiritual battle. In the church, spiritual gifts are discovered. We are called of God to praise the Lord together. We're called to hear the word. We're called to fellowship. We're called to mission. And Jesus is coming. encourage one another as you see the day approaching. Now, I know that in these days that we live in, as I mentioned, not everyone can get to church. And I think one of the marvellous technologies that we have today is that we can listen on the internet and we can watch on the internet. And there would be people that would be watching this sermon on the internet. And I'm thankful that we can get our message out on radio. We can get our message out on the internet. People can easily see, come and watch sermons from all different sorts of churches. Technology is great today. But it is not the same as coming to church together week by week. You don't have the fellowship online as what you can get when you come together and be with one another. I believe, if possible, that every church, every Christian should be in church every Sunday, if that's possible. What sort of church? Well, I've got to say to you that not every church people should attend. We've got to be careful in the days that we live in. And I need to say that you, if you're attending a church or you're listening on the internet, you should make that sure that you're attending a church that preaches the words. 1 Timothy 4 verse 1. Now the Spirit speaks expressly that in the latter times some shall depart from the faith, giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of devils, speaking lies in hypocrisy, having their conscience seared with a hot iron. We've got to be aware that not every church is God's church. Not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, Jesus said in Matthew 7, shall enter the kingdom of heaven, but he who does the will of my Father in heaven. Many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in your name, cast out demons in your name, and done many wonders in your name? And then I will declare to them, I never knew you. Depart from me, you who practice lawlessness. What's a true church? Well, a true church is a church that preaches that you are saved only by the blood of the Lord Jesus. What can wash away my sin? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. What can make me whole again? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. A true church will tell you that you are not saved by any sacrifices that you do or by any good works that you do. Ephesians 2 verse 8, for by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. The gospel is this, quite clear. In 1 Corinthians 15, Christ died for our sins according to the scriptures, and that he was buried and that he rose again the third day according to the scriptures. If you're attending a church, make sure the church preaches the blood. Make sure the church preaches believe. You must trust Christ and Christ alone for your salvation. Every true church that's preaching the word should get people to admit their sin. They should get people to abandon their self-effort. They should get people to accept Christ's payment. They should get people to acknowledge your eternal security. And they should get people to accomplish God's will. That is a true church. A church that teaches that you're a sinner, you admit your sin, you abandon your self-effort, you accept Christ's payment, you acknowledge your eternal security, and you accomplish his will in mission. 10 clear reasons to be in church in every Sunday, but I think the most compelling reason for me is that Jesus, the very Son of God, who left the halls of heaven, made it his business from a child to be in fellowship with others, to be hearing the word of God, to be amongst the praises of his people. Let me pray. Lord, we thank you that you have given us the wonderful gift of the church. We thank you, Lord, that in the church we discover our spiritual gifts, we deploy our spiritual gifts, and we display our spiritual gifts. And Lord, many of us here can testify what a blessing the church has been to us. especially those here, Lord, that know that the church has been used as a vehicle to present the gospel to us and give us the good news that Jesus loved us and went to the cross for all our sins. Lord, help us to take our church attendance seriously. Help us to realize that a lost world is looking to us. And Lord, we are witnesses. We are witnesses as the people of God in this sin-filled world. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.